What's up, guys? Another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio. We got a good one because we have Darkseid from the Moto X Pod Show on to preview the 250 East Coast Championship Series that will be starting this weekend at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Should be an awesome series and should continue the already great racing we've had so far. We also talk a little bit about Lime Gate. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, the San Diego Mudfest that was the lime, the chemicals they put in the dirt that's burning the riders and destroying the bikes. Yeah, we talk about that. After that, young up-and-coming rider Zane Merritt is on. We talk about training down in Texas with Kyle Riegel, racing Supercross Futures, and his plans to go pro at Hangtown. Huge shout-out to Blood Lubricants, continuing to sponsor the Whiskey Throttle Radio Show. And they've got some good news recently. It's been a little, actually been a couple months now, but in addition to their high-quality racing oils, they have even more stuff. Suspension fluid, fork fluid, gear oil, chain lube, detailer, polyclean, kick-ass degreaser. They have it all. So make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com. And don't forget to use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off. Also, huge shout-out to Risk Racing for their continued support. A lot of innovative products they have going on over there. And we got to get James Burry back on to talk about maybe some new products launching that we'll have soon. And, yeah, check them out at riskracing.com. As always, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Instagram. I got that messed up, but you know the do. All right, let's get into it. Right now from the Moto X Pod Show, it's Darkseid. What's up, bud? How's it going?
What's up, Kurt? How you doing, man? Excited to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing good. I'm excited about Minneapolis. Kind of talked about it just before I hit record, but like you said, it's like a whole new season. You know, it's a real cool part of the Supercross schedule.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, we've had an exciting five races in the West so far. The 450 series has been awesome. And, you know, the East Coast is stacked, too. You know, there's a couple guys that people are picking as their favorites, but I think there's a lot of guys that have potential to win a race.
Yeah, I was kind of just looking that over before we got on the phone here, and I have my notes, and I'm like, this guy could win, this guy could win, this guy could win, this guy could get on the podium, this guy could probably win. Like, there's a lot of dudes. It's insane.
Absolutely. I was, you know, our show, we did a show last night. We had Martine on, Davalos. We had Justin Cooper, and then one of our buddies is privateer, Lane Shaw, and they're all excited. And just talking with some of my buddies yesterday, I was like, who do you think is going to win? And everybody had a different answer.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely up in the air and a lot of question marks. So let's jump right into it. Let's jump right into it.
Okay.
So I think, this is my opinion here, the fastest guy, the guy to beat, the guy that, you know, the guy to lose it, I guess. But the favorite is probably Austin Faulkner. I think he's definitely the fastest. Would you agree or no?
That was really my pick yesterday while talking to my buddies. If he can keep his head on straight mentally, you know, if he doesn't get angry with something or kind of get, like we saw him do, I think, at St. Louis last year and a few other places. Yes, I did think that. But then actually going through some of the results from last year, I'm not so sure that I feel that way anymore after looking at the results. I think I'm jumping on the Jordan Smith bandwagon now.
Yeah, yeah, Smith's going to be good. You know, it's funny, on my notes, I have the same thing about Faulkner. If he can, you know, not get mad at anyone and kind of keep his emotions down a little bit. Dude, like last year in Tampa, he was flipping everyone off. Like he'd run into someone and then flip them off and –
He's hot-headed.
Yeah, and you kind of saw that with Zacco. I think it was Atlanta Triple Crown where they kind of got together and, you know, and he well, he'll crash and have a bad race. And I think that was Minneapolis when he, I think he went down like 4 or 5 times in that race. So, Jordan Smith, I think people forget that he was so close in 2017 at Vegas, but then he obviously crashed in that ski jump. But with the whole, you know, Savatgy Osborne thing that was going down, that championship could have easily been his. He went in last year a little bit injured, but I'm hearing good things about him this year going in, and I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, I looked up his results. So in 2017, he lost the championship by 12 points. That's pretty close. In 2018, he lost it by, I'm looking here, it looks like 8 points. So, so 8 points. So, I mean, his results, last year were, he got 2-6. Those were the worst results he got all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's...
So, yeah.
You know, it's funny here, I know they're buddies too. He reminds me a lot of Shane McElrath. Like, a lot of people don't talk about
him. Yeah.
He's kind of under the radar. They're both from North Carolina, and they're both really smooth too. So, yeah, I could easily see him. You know, I don't think he's going to be the fastest guy week in and week out, but he's going to be there each and every race on the podium.
He's consistent. Definitely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, and we never know. It's hard to believe that Austin has, I hate to use grown up, but, you know, I mean, I'll say grown up. It's kind of hard to believe that he's going to be able to change his personality that much in one season. I don't know. You know, it may take him a few years before he realizes he can calm down a little bit. So I expect Austin to have some bad races.
Yeah, definitely. I expect, you know, if he crashes out in one of the first, like, two or three rounds, it's not going to surprise me. But if he goes out and wins two out of three rounds, it's not going to surprise me either, you know?
Exactly.
You said you had Marty on your show last night. What are you thinking for him?
Man, I think he's going to be really consistent. I know he's going to try to stay – obviously, he's going to want to stay injury-free. He's had a lot of issues the last couple of years. We talked about that last night. You know, but he's an older guy in the class. He's smart. He knows what it takes to win a championship. Even though he hasn't won one, he knows what it takes, you know, to stay consistent. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be really, really good. I bet he's going to be on the podium almost every week.
Yeah, and definitely going to be winning some heat races. But, man, the thing about Marty is, like, a lot of times when he loses these things, it's not even his fault, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Chain breaking, like 2 weeks before he was going to wrap it up, getting stuck in Toronto for, you know, immigration issues and
right.
Small stuff like that. It seems to always fall on him, but I'd be pumped if he won it. I really would, just because it seems like a nice dude. He works his ass off. He's been there forever, but yeah. And I think those three are your favorite. I think those three are going to be winning the races for the most part.
Yeah, I do too. You know, I really hope that Christian Craig can do something. As a person, I think Christian's one of my favorite people in the pits. I think he deserves, you know, he deserves a really good season. I'd like to see him get a 450 ride next year. I think he'll probably do that anyway. But yeah, I mean, you know, then we haven't even talked about Justin Cooper yet. I mean, geez, you know, Justin has killed it outdoors. You know, I mean, this is, in my opinion, his rookie year. It should have been last year, but he really only ran A1 before breaking his collarbone. So he's an unknown, but I think he's going to be pretty damn fast. You know, obviously all these guys are going to be fast, but he's going to be up there too.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned Craig. He is probably the smoothest rider I've ever seen. Maybe Kevin Windham.
Yeah.
Him and Kevin Windham. But he's kind of tall. He just stands up. It doesn't even look like he's trying. I think that's why he gets some flack sometimes. Like, people are like, oh, he's just out there riding around. But that's just how he rides, you know. And he's won. I think he has one win before in 250 class in the West Coast. So he can definitely win. And it'd be a very pleasant surprise to see him go out there and, you know, put himself in this title of fight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know he wanted to ride West Coast. It didn't work out, but dude, the guy's got unlimited talent, so he has the tools to do it. Again, that's why this season, well, every season's exciting, but this one is just shaping up to be probably one of the best seasons in the history of the sport.
Yeah, it's definitely off to a good start. It's funny. So working at Risk Racing, doing their social media, and, you know, I was going in the season. I do like a trivia thing. It's like, oh, if you can guess the 450 and 250 winner going in like the Friday before, you win like a koozie or stickers or something like that. And like, I'm like, oh, okay, so
right.
We're gonna be giving away so much of this stuff, you know. And no one got it.
Yeah.
No one got it the first 3 weeks. So it's like, I think only two people have gotten it all season. So it's definitely tough this year. And like you said, it's an exciting season. 450 class is so close. The 250s is so close.
Yeah.
And I think this one's going to be close too. Well, where are you at with Chase Sexton?
Man, I don't know yet. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at his name on my list. And I mean, look, he had some really good finishes last year, but he had some really bad ones. You know, I mean, he's got some eighths and some fifths. He got a 21st at Indy at the showdown. I'm not really sure. I don't remember what happened that caused that 21st, but he's fifth overall in the season though last year in the West. There's no reason that he can't be in the top five again.
I think the biggest, you know, we know he's really fast, but the biggest question mark with him is his starts, you know, indoors and out.
Yeah.
They were not there. And I even heard that was his biggest problem in his amateur career too, was he just couldn't get a start. So I think with how deep this field is, that's really going to hurt him. But I think he's going to win a lot of heat races if he can, you know, just with his speed alone, if he can get these starts dialed in. And if he can go out there and start top five, he can definitely be a podium threat each weekend.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, everybody we've talked about so far was like, oh, he could be a podium guy. He could be a podium guy. So,
they all are.
You know, there's about six or seven guys that, like, well, they should be podium guys. And it's going to make it exciting if hopefully they all stay healthy.
You know, one guy that really needs to stay healthy because the last couple of years have been a little rough for him, but he's got the speed to do really good and be a podium guy is Alex Martin. I'm interested to see him on the Suzuki. But, you know, Jimmy D's riding it really well right now, so I think he can do really well on it too.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about Alex right now because we had him on 2 weeks ago, and he pretty much said, hey, I'm not his exact word, where I'm not looking to set the world on fire. I want to get through this season. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, you know, if he's really more focused. He didn't say this, and I'm wondering if he's more focused on outdoors and, like, let's just get through this Supercross season, you know, maybe looking for a top five or something and just stay healthy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if on his calendar he just has a big circle around that weekend in May when Hangtown is, because he's a legitimate contender outdoors. And, you know, he's never won a Supercross race before. He's never really had that Supercross skill as the other guys have. So I think if he just, you know, his goal might just be to go out there and put in top fives, get that JGR bike close to the podium or on the podium and get through it.
Yeah, I think that would be really good for him, and it'd be really good for JGR because, man, they've been up and down. You know, Enzo Lopes has had so many issues in the West. You know, Jimmy D's been up and down here and there. I mean, he's had good rides and dropped back. So I think JGR would be thrilled with Alex just staying consistent in that top six or seven.
Yeah, for sure. And on his good days, if he can get on the podium, that's a win for them. That's awesome. So I have
definitely
three guys with a bunch of big question marks around them. All right, Justin Cooper, you said, it's pretty much his rookie year. He only raced Anaheim last year. Thomas Covington, he's never raced Supercross, but he was killing it over there in the GPs. He's going to be racing for Rockstar Husky. And then, unfortunately, Hunter Lawrence just announced yesterday or today that he's going to be out for a little while, but he's another guy that I have no idea how any of these three guys are really going to do.
Yeah, all I know is the rumors I hear, like, about Thomas that Covington, that he's, I mean, was figured out pretty fast. He got right in there and, you know, was killing it out in practice. Now, it's a big difference. Excuse me. I'm six. I apologize. It's a big difference, you know, in practice and riding the same track every day and then going to a race. So it's really hard to say, but just the rumor mill is that he's flying.
Yeah, you hear that about everyone though too, though. So it's kind of hard.
That's true.
Hard to take that in, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that is true. You know, it was interesting to me when he first went over to the GPs. He wasn't really crushing it or even doing that well his first couple of years, but it seems like the last years maybe he's just really developing as a rider, more mature, and just getting a later start in a Supercross. He's able to use that maturity out on the practice track and, you know, really watch the other riders and put it down on them, you know?
Yeah, I don't know a lot about him. You know, I've got to really start following the GPs more. I'm going to try to do that this year. I'm going to pay for that package and watch them all. So I don't know a lot about Thomas, but man, I hope he does. I hope he's another one of those guys that's up there every week. I'd love to see these guys just banging bars every week for, you know, position on the podium. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. So I got a question for you, Darkside. You know, you're a Texas guy. Do we consider Mitchell Oldenburg a Texas guy, or is he Minnesota?
Yeah, we kind of claim him as one of ours, although his family ran Oak Hill for a while. We've claimed him over the last few years. I'm not super high on his potential. It just doesn't seem like he's lived up to his hype yet. And I don't know why that is, to be honest.
He's been very fast at times, but dude cannot stop getting hurt. I don't remember the last time he's done a whole season. You know, I think even his first year on that privateer Honda, he was hurt a lot. But I mean, I know he's had this full off season, you know, since his ACL surgery last year. Maybe he comes in and starts ripping off podiums. I don't know, because you know he's fast. He's ridden really good in the past.
Yeah, he's definitely showed moments of brilliance. I mean, you just never know until we get there. It's going to be so damn cold this weekend. I wonder how many of those guys are actually going to just stay in the stadium.
I bet they're a little thankful it wasn't last weekend, though, because I think it's at least supposed to be above freezing this weekend. I know last week was like
negative
40.
Yeah, I do believe that. Yeah, I don't know about Mitchell, man. I just don't – I haven't really given him a lot of credit, I'll be honest, a lot of thought for this season.
Yeah, it's hard to, just because, like, you're not even used to him being out there. But he's on that he's on probably the best bike out there, Star Yamaha. So maybe he gets a good
Definitely.
Start and puts on the podium. Can Hart Ramp –
Let's see it, man.
Can Hart Ramp be a top five guy, Darkside?
Oh, I definitely think on, you know, certain occasions can. I don't think he will be consistently, though. I just think there's too many guys that are that like superstar quality. It's going to be really difficult on the guys that are, I kind of consider the next tier, like Hart Rapp and you know, Oldenburg. I think they're just a step off.
Yeah, like I kind of have the guys in order, and my top six here are Faulkner, Marty Smith, Craig Sexton, and Amart. And then you still have Cooper, Covington, Lawrence, Oldenburg. So, like, just like you said, he could definitely be a top five guy, but it's going to be hard to do it for a lot of these guys to do it consistently. You know, there's going to be really good guys getting 10th or 11th and be like, oh, shit, I suck. But then you look at the guys in front of them. And
right.
That's actually not too terrible.
Yeah. But,
so,
yeah.
Give me your title winner right now. Stamp it. Darkside, who you got?
I'm going Jordan Smith.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm going Jordan Smith. You know, with the thought that Austin's probably going to have a couple bad races where he crashes, maybe doesn't finish, or just does really really bad because of some issue. You know, him making those mistakes he's made in the last couple of years. But yeah, so Jordan Smith is my guy.
Me too. Let's hope that I don't think I've ever gotten it right when I say someone's going to win a title, but let's hope we're both right this
right.
time. I'd love to see it. It'd be cool, you know.
Yeah.
But and it'd be cool for that. Like,
you know, and
go ahead.
I was gonna say somebody that I want you to keep your eye on is one of my buddies, Texas privateer John Short. He was 10th overall last year in the series. Didn't really get the recognition he deserved. I know there were some injuries, but John is a guy that if you go back and look, his results don't always show his speed. Man, if he gets a decent start, which he does not do very often. He's a top 10 guy, no problem. His issues are his starts, and sometimes he doesn't make the main because he gets a bad start in the LCQ and just doesn't make it in. But the guy has been working his butt off on starts this year, so I'm hoping to get him. I'd like to see him in that top 10 mix regularly also.
Yeah, I remember Short, I think it was probably 4 or 5 years ago now, in the outdoors crushing it, Privateer Yamaha. He is really good.
Yes.
When he's in the main, like – he's a guy who, like you said, doesn't get good starts. So he'll be, you know, 18th, 15th, 14th, and then next thing you know, he's 9th or 10th at the end of the main. So yeah, there's a couple guys that I'm curious about like that. You know, Kyle Cunningham's racing now, 250s on a Honda. So he's another guy who could be right up there too. He's super consistent. He's a vet. You know, Jordan Bailey, he's a rookie this year on the Rockstar Husky. Henry Miller, Josh Crosby. There's a bunch of guys, you know, that, you know, are right there to kind of make that next jump up to be in a different tier than they were before.
Definitely. No, it's going to be exciting, man. I can't wait. Just fired up. I can't wait. You know, I'll be at the Dallas race in a couple of weeks and get to see these guys in person, and I'm excited.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at the results here. Kyle Peters, that's another guy. He podiumed one race last year. So, yeah, you're going to a bunch, Darkside, aren't you? Were you Dallas, Houston? And then you already been to a couple.
Yeah,
already.
I did the first two rounds. I did the two Texas rounds, and we're scheduled to do Denver and the Vegas finals.
Okay. Yeah, you're just a traveling man.
Man, I love it. And yeah, we were fortunate to get a little help this year for the show, and it made it possible.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that'll only help, you know, your show grow, just being at the races, getting great content from the races, and, you know, people see you around and stuff. I want to, before that you go, I want to get, you know, opinion. Big story coming out of San Diego last weekend. Limegate. What are your thoughts?
Man, first, I feel terrible for all the guys that were affected, all the bikes and everything. You know, just, I know you listen to Mathis and stuff. I just think it was a mistake, man. I mean, it's an unfortunate mistake. I don't know that they put any more lime down than they normally do. I think it really did come down to the standing water. I've worked with lime doing construction work in the past, and that stuff just kind of floats on the water. It doesn't absorb it. And when they got splashed, it caused that chemical reaction, man. I feel really bad. I don't know how you make it right. You can't, you know, there's no way I can see Feld paying for all the the mechanical damage and all the, you know, doctors if the riders had to go. I don't know how you make it right. You just have to hope it doesn't happen again, and it sucks.
Yeah, it is terrible. I heard they're, you know, reaching out, giving the riders $5,000. So, I mean, it's not going to, you know, save the world, but it's a big gesture by them. Obviously, they did not mean to do this. I'm curious, though, because one risk, we have a rider out there, Benny Williams. He made the night show, and he was saying you could on the sitting on the gate, you could see it floating on the top of the water. He said it just looked like snow on top of the water.
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah,
I would have thought, and I heard they were dumping it like right before the night show, right before the starts were going down. I would have thought they would have been dumping that early in the morning, but you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
that would have made more sense. I can't imagine why they would do it during the show, because it's not going to react that quickly anyway. You know, it wouldn't have done really any good to do it in the middle of the night show. I don't understand that. But I was, you know, obviously I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah. The only people that do are the higher ups at Feld. So we'll probably never know. But man, you got to feel for the guys that, I feel bad for everyone, but you got to feel for the privateers. They got the 450 guys that are doing the whole series. They got to go down, probably trash their, like, do a whole rebuild on their bikes and then drive to freezing cold Minnesota. You know, they're already on the way there now. It was probably really hectic.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I mean, those bikes were just trashed. The wheels were destroyed. I mean, geez, it was, you know, if that was me in my position right now, I'd be done. I wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, most of those guys are just barely getting to the next round anyway.
Yeah, I guess if you're a privateer and lucky enough to have a practice bike and you have it at the race with you, I would have hoped they would, you know, maybe they rode that one. At least they have something for next weekend or something.
Right.
But I know there's a lot of people out there that are trying to help privateers and stuff like that. So hopefully they'll get it going. And I hope to God this never happens again.
Yeah, I can't imagine it will. It's bad. I mean, you know, I texted Van Martin about it because I saw his pictures, and he's a buddy, and just chewed up, man. You know, and I've heard the stories about all the other guys, A-Ray and Seven Deuce Deuce. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, you think about it, like, those guys that are really chewed up that bad, they're going to have a hard time even riding this weekend. It's going to hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard the areas that are really chewed up too are like the creases on your body and stuff. So probably some very unpleasant places to ride.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and all those places where you need to be gripping a seat when you're riding.
Yeah.
Not going to be a fun weekend this weekend for some of those guys.
Nope, not at all. But all right, Darkside, thank you very much for doing this. I hope to see you at a race soon. Maybe an outdoor, maybe somewhere.
Yeah, man.
Maybe I'll move out to Texas and hang out. But
there you go.
thanks again, man. You enjoy your night.
Yeah, man. Hey, thanks for having me on. And hey, remind me, where where are you living now? Because you moved. Where are you living?
Just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Actually, if you stand on top of my building, I can see right into J-Bone's office at JGR.
Oh, that's rad. Okay. Well, the reason I asked is that I want to come do the Florida National this year, and I didn't know how far of a trip that was for you.
Not too far. I'll be there. If we got a big camper, my dad will be there. If you need a place to stay, bro, just let me know.
Yeah. Sweet. I'll hit you up, man. But thanks for having me on, and good luck with the show the rest of the night.
Yeah, and everyone subscribe to the Moto X Pod Show Tuesday nights, right?
We do the show live on Tuesday nights. It's usually posted late Tuesday night. And then we have our YouTube channel, Moto X Pod Show YouTube channel, where when I do go to the races, I've been doing all the interviews with my GoPro and putting them up there. So it's kind of cool. Something different. People seem to like it.
Yeah, vlog life. You're a traveling vlogger.
Yeah, I've only done a couple of them, and TJ, my producer, has been doing some because his son Doc did a bunch of those. Well, he's done all the Supercross features so far. He's been doing some vlogging, but people seem to like that better than just the audio where you can see everybody else. So we're trying to do it, and I'm learning how to edit videos a little bit. I'm not very good at it yet, but it's fun.
Hey, you'll get there. We'll get there, Dark Side.
Hell yeah. Absolutely, man. Well, thank you, man.
Yeah, man. You have a great night, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good, bud. See ya.
See ya. I want to talk to you guys about oil, and not just any oil. I'm talking about Blood lubricants. Blood is a manufacturer of advanced technology synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. Jeff Green has been producing high quality synthetic lubricants since 1983 and is constantly pushing the bar for high quality oil. Blood sponsors top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers and offers sponsorship programs from the amateur level all the way to the pros. Racing is in their blood. Whether you're ripping up the motocross track, hitting the hills on a side-by-side, or cruising back roads on your street bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered with their 100% synthetic oil, specifically engineered for high-performance machines, and their superior anti-wear technology that optimizes wet clutch performance and keeps your engine clean and reduces varnish. Make sure to check out their website, bloodlubricants.com, that's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, or buyblood.com, B-U-Y-B-L-U-D.com. All products have a 100% guarantee, and be sure to use the promo code WHISKEY to receive the 25% off all products. Again, that's the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all products. All right, back to the show. All right, on the line with me right now, he's an up-and-coming amateur from Texas. It's Zane Merritt. What's up, Zane? How you doing?
What's up, man? Just got back to Underground with at Quixmoto facility with Kyle Regal and everything, so good to be back in Texas.
Yeah, man. I heard you had a pretty fun Cali trip.
Yeah, the Cali trip was pretty fun. Made a couple vlogs on the trip. Made like two vlogs, a couple Instagram stories, a couple posts and everything. Had some fun. Kind of showed everybody the experience that I went through.
Yeah, man. I was just checking them out the other day. It looked like a real good time. But, starting this thing off, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how old you are, what bike you're riding, all that good stuff.
All right. So my name is Zane Thomas Merritt. I'm 20 years old. I live in Fort Worth, Texas. Train with Kyle Regal out at Quixmoto facility. I've been racing since I was 10, like 9, 10 years old. I've been racing. I didn't take it seriously until I was 13. And then just been training and grinding super hard, trying to get ready for my pro career, which is going to start this year at Hangtown. So Kyle's got a good program set up for me right now, and that's what we're getting ready to do.
Awesome, man. How did this, motocross career kind of start for you? How did you get into it?
Yeah, so when I was younger, I was played football, and I was pretty good at football. And then my dad we went to a Supercross one time in Dallas, and I guess I just kind of got a little attached to it, and then we started racing, or we got a little bike, and then we started riding, and then we started racing, and then it was just an eye-opener, and that's what I want to do. So we did homeschool, and we've just been living at facility since.
Yeah,
I have.
That sounds awesome. So I got to ask, I've watched Friday Night Lights, love the movie, love the show. Is that just a thing? You're born in Texas, you're probably going to play football for a little bit.
Say that again?
Just being from Texas, is that like a normal thing? I know football is so huge out there. Do you kind of just get into that no matter what?
Yes. So I think my plan was, my dad's plan was gonna try to get me to do football throughout my my life, and he wanted me to be a football player, and that's what I did. Ever since I was 3-4 years old, I played football all the way until I started racing motocross, which was about, 9-10 years old around middle school. And then after that, we did our high school for homeschool, and I just chose to whatever we were gonna do, if it was gonna be football or motocross, we were gonna be 100% fully committed. Mm-hmm. And then I chose that, and that's what we did, and we went all in, and it worked out really great. So any sport you do, you're gonna have the highs and lows and the injuries and stuff like that. So I'm just fortunate enough to be healthy now and still to be able to do what I love.
And how did you get hooked up with Kyle Regal down there and start training with him?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of awesome because Kyle's stepfather owned and built this facility a while back, and it's had a couple different trainers in its hands since then. And now Kyle's back to owning it. Kyle and Jeff quit, and they're back to owning it now. So it's really cool that that Kyle is helping out myself and other kids as well. And he does it all for the kids. Like, it's literally, everybody's like, oh, trainers do it for this, trainers do it for the money. There's not a lot of money to be made in a facility, and people think there is, but there's really not, because of everything that goes into it and the time and the effort. And he works his butt off every day building a brand new track. Not like a just turn the track around. It's a completely different track every single day. And whenever I got linked up with him, I had the opportunity, and I just took full advantage and been grinding since. And he knows what's best for me, because I feel like I'm kind of going through his shoes in a different way, and he knows that I'll be ready for outdoor, and I fully trust him, so can't wait to see how we're gonna do.
Yeah, and you're training under a really, Kyle was an amazing rider. I remember watching him in the Nationals on a privateer Honda just running up front. So you're definitely in good hands down there with the guy who has a lot of knowledge, on and off the bike, I'm sure. Just, your skills on the bike and then training off the bike.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I remember when I was younger, I was watching Kyle at like age 18, no, 17 years old when he went pro at 17 years old in the 250 class, and in the 450 or the 450 class at Freestone, getting a third and a fourth, and ending up like third overall against all 450 factory riders coming out of a box van, privateer. You know what I mean? Like, he has so much raw talent, and like, he could get on the bike today and he can still go out there and set a faster lap time and do motos and everything with us. And it's awesome because there'll be days that he'll go out there and ride, and it's just like unbelievable of like the lane choices and how fast he can set the lap times and stuff. It's just awesome. It's awesome to have the opportunity to ride with him because he's had a great career.
Yeah, it's definitely good to see him, like you said, helping you out and helping the kids out just because he loves it. We talked about it earlier. You went out to Cali and I guess Arizona too to race some SX Futures. How did that go for you?
Yeah, so we went out to Glendale, Arizona first. Practice was awesome. I was like third fastest coming out of practice, so I had third gate pick, and then went into my heat race. I ended up second place in my heat, and then we were running really good in the main. They're really quick motos, and the track was super, super sketchy and dry, and like the guys just kind of let it get out of control. And it was the first round, so I ain't been to one of those. Last year we were going to go, but I got injured, so we haven't been to one of those at all. And so I had expectations that it was going to be pretty much super, super, super crossy. And they made it pretty tame down and small jumps. And a lot of people get hurt throughout the night. And I just remember telling myself, just, top 10, you get 2 points, top 5, you get 3. And I was just like, let's just make it out of this round healthy with some points and let's go make it happen. And I was running fifth. I was going to be able to get 3 points. It was white flag lap, and I just scrubbed this jump a little too hard, hit a little pothole, and endoed me. And when I went to bell, my foot was caught under the shifter, and so it slammed me, and it busted my helmet, and it knocked me out. And then luckily I was okay, and I got up afterwards, but I took a concussion test and we were still good to go, and they passed me. So we were, you know, I took a couple days off. We drove from Glendale. We stayed at our buddy Nick's house, and then we drove from Glendale the next day, and we got to California. We took a couple days off, and then just started riding Nuevo. I did a little vlog about my day. That was actually my first day back, was at Nuevo, and that track was rough. And so we just kind of chilled out and took it easy, and then got ready for A2. And I'm just going to walk you through mm-hmm. the three rounds.
Yeah.
And so we got ready for A2. I had a weird vibe. I had a really weird vibe when we were at the track. Even during the Saturday night, I was just kind of feeling off. And so I went out for practice. The rhythms were super, super, like steep. The bottom mm-hmm. side, they weren't super flowy. And so I made a couple mistakes. Luckily, I know Carson Mumford, he bottomed down to one of the rhythms and then came up short on the triple and ended up breaking his wrist. And so we were lucky to make it out of there healthy and good, but didn't do too good in qualifying. Ended up getting taken out in my heat race and went to the LCQ, won the LCQ, was second to last gate pick. We went all the way outside, or second gate from outside. Got a good start, got a good jump. Came in, and me and Shimoto hit handlebars, and so it threw me off the track instantly. And then so I was in last, and so I was coming back to the pack, and a lot of riders were crashing. And then, you know, there were some spots where there was cross flags. So you had to roll that little section and stuff. And once that all happened, the leaders and pretty much top five was kind of checked out. And so I was coming back to the pack, end up coming all the way to like 7th or 8th, and then I slid down the corner, and it moved me back to 12th, and then I ended up at 11th. So, once again, we didn't score no points, but it was just a rough night. I was actually really happy that I left there safe mm-hmm. and good to go, because I just had when you had that weird vibe?
Yeah.
And so, we took Monday off, trained Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, went up to Aiden Tejero's house on Thursday night, and we rode. He showed us this little river track down by the valley, and we rode that as a sand track, and I was still super good that day. Ended up going to Supercross. We left a little early from Supercross. I wanted to go back, get some rest up and stuff, and I was coming in the next day. I was feeling really comfortable on the bike in practice. I didn't really set any fast laps. I was just kind of flowing and seeing how the track was, and filling out the whoops and everything. End up getting a fifth place start in my heat, and then moving to second, and lined up in the main, and we were two from the doghouse on the right side, and came in the corner, and this kid's back tired, so he high-sided into another kid, and then the whole pretty much probably 9 or 10 guys of the pack went down, including myself. And so, in my head, I was just thinking, man, not another weekend starting off like this. And I just put my head down. I rode as hard as I could the whole moto. End up coming all the way back to probably 6th from last. And me and this kid quieted into a corner after the whoops. I was coming in pretty hot. And he went high in the berm and cut down. I just barely nicked his back tire. I fell over, got past the one person, and then I ended up about, I think, 7th race.
Okay.
So I scored 2 points.
Yeah. I was going to... Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just saying, I'm glad I made it back from Cali all good. I definitely realized that the Supercross weren't nothing like I expected, mm-hmm. and I know that I felt like the rounds were getting better and better, and I know my next rounds that I'll be going to are Houston and Tennessee.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna ask or say, you know, being in Texas, you know, you're kind of centrally located, so it won't be, you know, too much like not one of these kids out in California that's gonna have to drive all the way to Houston or Tennessee, so that'll be good. But you know, it sounds like, man, like this is how it's gonna be when you're pro too. Like you're gonna, you know, get yourself in some tough situations, you know, just people going down and colliding with other people, and you know, it seems like you handled adversity and and got some points at least. So that's got, you got to be kind of stoked on that at least, right?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely, well, we kind of, me and Kyle had this like this little plan we were kind of thinking about. And I think also it had something with like, you know, it was showing me by me, you know, making those little mistakes and going down and stuff happening, kind of showed me that I wasn't going to be ready to go to East Coast because we were going to try to go to California, get the points, and maybe line up or debut a little early and just keep it under the radar. Debut a little early, you know, home state Dallas for Supercross. And it gave me a couple weeks to prepare myself, but I guess the man up above just was kind of showing me that maybe it wasn't the issue of the year.
Yeah, and dude, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. So, you know, just you keep working your ass off and get your points at the next round or the one after that and just be dialed in for Hangtown and use, you know, then come out swinging then. Like you said, it wasn't in the cards, and I think, it, you know, everything happens for a reason. Just keep chugging along.
For sure. For sure. I definitely believe in that. And, you know, like one day we'll figure out that reason.
Yeah. How many points do you need to get your card? I'm not really familiar with the futures rules.
Yeah. So you need 6 points. Right now I'm at 2. I got at least 2 more rounds I got to go to because, like I said, to score the points, it's top 10 is 2 points, 3 points for top 5.
Okay.
So either get 3 or 2, and I'm in a situation where I have 2, so I got to score 4 more.
Yeah, and at least, and what's there? There's 3 rounds total, right? Left, I think. Doesn't Denver have futures too, or is it just Houston, Tennessee?
It's Houston, Tennessee, Denver, and then the final round is in Vegas.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, you got 4 more. You'll be good to go, man. But that's awesome. You just get the experience under your belt too.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. I get to watch like a lot of my buddies that I don't really get to see often race in the Supercross on the Saturday night.
Okay.
Like Heath Harrison, Van Martin, all those guys that, you know, ride and train with and all that. So,
have you talked to Van? I think he's got the worst, that with the Lyme stuff with the burns. Oh, dude, his are pretty gnarly.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel bad for all the guys that suffered that, and for the, you know, just for the guys themselves and for their bikes and everything, because, you know, I know how it feels to be like a private tour rider, because, you know, I'm doing all this stuff with my sponsors that help me out a lot, and then myself and my dad, and so I definitely know the feeling when, you know, something breaks or something's ruined, and most of those guys, they spend everything that they got just to do what they can do, the little bit of rounds, and then to go out there, and then they put that much on the track, and it just eats their body and then destroys their bike. I mean, it's hard enough as it is.
Yeah, and then the ones that continue doing to go East Coast, they got to drive all the way to Minneapolis, and it's going to be freezing cold. It's just bummer time. I feel bad. I saw Tyler Bauer's bike. His is absolutely roached. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a bummer. But moving on, man. So, how has your amateur career been so far? I've seen you got some good results at Loretta's. 2017 seemed to be a pretty good year for you.
Yeah, 2017 was probably the most consistent, solid year I've had. I stayed away from quite a few injuries. I had a wrist injury, and then I sprained my ankle pretty bad. That was it for the injuries that year. I was super consistent. I ended up with a second place at Loretta's, a second and a sixth place at Loretta's, 6 and 250B mod, and second and 450B limited. Super great at Loretta's. I ended up winning my first moto by a minute, and then I crashed on the start, or crashed in the second turn on the second moto, and I never forget this because I threw it away. I threw my title away at Loretta's in 2017. I came around Storyland, and that tabletop, I scrubbed the tabletop a little hard, and I drug my foot. And when I did, it ended me, and then I slammed into the triple. And I was making my way back from way in the back, like almost last, because it was coming back down with me. And when I was making my way back, I came all the way to fifth, and I was passing for fourth, and that would have been all I needed was just a fourth. That's all I needed. And because I knew that I would go out in that third moto, and I knew I could win. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with a 1-5-1. I won my third moto and ended up with tying or 1 point back and tying with third place. So I ended up with second place overall. And the guy that won was just a little bit more consistent. He went 2-2-2, and I went 1-5-1, and I just was 1 point short and ended up with second overall. But, you know, just to get second overall at Loretta's is still awesome. Just a podium at Loretta's in general is awesome. I worked super hard for that. We gave it our all that year at Loretta's. And then even Spring and Ink and Freestone, Mini O's, I went 2-2-2 on Supercross. And then Outdoor, I went 2-3-5. And it was awesome. So just overall, it was an awesome year. In 2018 was a little rougher. Suffered a couple injuries. I had a lot of bike problems also that went wrong. At Loretta, I was running third. I had third place. I had a flat tire go out on me, and so I ended up with a DNF. And that was almost like up past halfway to, and the QQA. And I ended up with a 6th in the moto, and then another 2-2-D, a 7th, a 5th, and a 9th, and then another 2-D miss, which messed up my overall scores. So, 2018 was a rough year for me.
Yeah, but like you know, even with the DNFs, seemed like your speed was there. So I mean, that's kind of something to build off, at least, you know, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I knew that I could be the guy that could be a spoiler for sure. And I knew I wanted the podium. My goal that year was to be in the podium because I was the only guy that did not have a ride under the tent at Loretta's. And that was like that for the year before when I was in the B class and the 250B mod. Tall class was a little different, but the mod, I was the only guy that didn't have a ride because there's 300 guys, there was three Cowboys that year. So there's already the 2KTM, the 2Elite guys,
yeah,
and then the one Husky. So, I mean, it's like just to know that you're beating all these guys that have it made, mm-hmm. and I'm doing it consistent all year, and I never was given the opportunity, but I know that I have the right people that's taking behind me. That's, you know, my motor builders, my suspension guy, my trainer, my personal trainer, my fitness trainer, Kelly. I got everybody in my corner that's helping me out. And maybe if I did have a factory ride, it just would be different and maybe things wouldn't work out. So maybe, you know, that's why I got what I got. But I know that I definitely got the heart and the dedication to make it happen, and I'm not giving up. So.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think that's going to translate for you into the pros as well. You know, just... You know, and that you're working hard as ever and you're putting in these results, and, you know, these guys have the factory ride, and, you know, it might not even be the bike. It might just be being under the tent and having it maybe a little bit easier while you're at the races and stuff like that. I mean, I think that's only going to, you know, build your confidence and build your character going in.
I think that whenever you get the factory ride, you're getting beat by a guy that is, you know, paying all the stuff or had sponsors that's paying for everything and you got it made and he's out here beating you. I feel like he definitely would bring you. I mean, it would bring, if I was a fashion rider and I was getting beat by some guy that I didn't even know, it definitely would upset me. Yeah. And if he's beating consistently, it would definitely bring me down. So it definitely helps my confidence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if I'm getting fifth, you ain't gonna win them all. And I know like Seth Haymaker is on rails right now, and big shout out to him because he's killing the game. And, you know, he's been the most consistent. He got hurt at many of us, but he's been the most consistent. And he's an overall great guy. And, you know, even, like, I've seen him get beat, and his sportsmanship's awesome. So I definitely feel like I try to do the same. Whenever I do get beat, I try to just, you know, be a good sport. And I know, like, there's a lot of guys that aren't the best sports, so.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, and it seems like Shimoda's good like that too. I forget which race it was, but they seem to be high fiving after and stuff like that. So there's definitely a couple guys like you and Haymaker and Shimoda out there, you know, having being a good sport and not kind of being a dick when you lose. Is I think that's a real, you know, admirable tribute. So before I let you go, before I let you go, Zane, who do you want to thank for, you know, getting to the races and, you know, making this all happen for you?
Yeah. So I want to just give a huge shout out to Jeff Quick, The guy does an awesome job on everything out here at Underground. He helps me out a lot behind the scenes. And I want to give a big thanks to my dad, my grandma, Kyle Regal, Kelly Smith, Seven Speed Graphics, HP, Monster, Gut Seats, Bell, Faction, Scott, TJ Cycles, TM Construction, and Quick Roofing, Enzo, FMS, EVS, Tanner Shot, Dunlop, and Nihilo, and Meek Meadows. Those are the guys that everybody's behind me. Helped me out so much, and Trace King also. Actually, since I'm talking to you, I've been using that a lot, and I'm about to post up some stuff on my Instagram, and we're going to do a daily, and we're about to do another daily in the vlog, and that thing's awesome. We actually connected another rider at Underground Butt once, we connected them both together, and during our sprint motos and our, like, full motos or long motos and everything, we start off two people every time, so it's awesome. That thing's just like starting off on a normal gate if you're doing great or dirt or concrete, so definitely something that you got to have at a track or even just daily. So
yeah, it seems like everyone really loves it, and, you know, we got a lot of, you know, the factory teams, a lot of them use it too, so hopefully, you know,
it
gets those stars dialed for you, man.
Yeah, no, it's just like race conditions, and that's the biggest part is the soul shot. So if you can practice starts off of a real gate, there's nothing different between a gate and a track and a gate in the wrist racing whole track gate at the facility. So we use it. We have starting gates at the track, and we use the gates more than we do those. So
awesome.
It's awesome to have, and big thanks to you for helping me out with that. And, you know, definitely big things to come.
Yeah,
I appreciate
man.
That a lot.
Of course. Thank you. And thank you for time on this. You enjoy the rest of your night. And good luck. I think I'm going to be in Tennessee. So I think I'll probably be hanging around Amateur Day. So I'll definitely come by and say what's up.
Yeah, for sure. We'll take some photos and stuff. So
awesome, dude. All right, you have a good night.
All right, you too, man. Thanks for this.
See ya.
Later.
Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same.
Living the life, that's how I live. Try to get out, tell me how to survive without my crew. Armani's, Ferraris, casinos, hitting jackpots. Good luck, I think not, we own the car from block to block. City to city, all day, every day. It's like a celebration for the criminal nation. Himido, wife and kids, that's what I need. Wanna go out like a man, try to understand without blood on my hands. Dear God, please save my soul. I put the rest on hold, not seven. I still got time to reach heaven. 1,000,000 reasons to get out, choose one. There's only one, to put the 9mm to your dome. Then you're gone, did I do right? Right or wrong, tell me. I might drop some tears from my eye, but you never see me cry. Champagne spit rhymes like crazy insane. LA to Stocktown, different players caught up in the same game.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Straight.